church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature of family. First, however, our bulletin of church news. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis at the Angelus on Sunday explained that the signs we read about in the Gospels are clues that reveal God's love for us, who is always near, tender, and compassionate. The Holy Father was commenting on the Gospel passage from John chapter 2 on the wedding feast at Cana. He prayed that Mary, the mother who is always attentive as at Cana, help us treasure the signs of God's presence in our lives. Thaddeus Jones reports.
Reflecting on the Sunday Gospel reading, which recounts the wedding at Cana, where Jesus transformed water into wine, Pope Francis explained how this sign at Cana sparked the faith of his disciples. The signs we read about in the Gospels are clues that reveal God's love.
Un segno è un indizio che rivela l'amore di Dio.
The signs described in the Gospels draw our attention to the love that caused them, the Pope said, more than the extraordinary power of their action, showing how God's love is always near, tender, and compassionate. Jesus acted discreetly and saved the wedding banquet from becoming an unhappy event, the Pope went on to say, and it was Our Lady who brought the issue quietly to Jesus' attention. The Lord intervened behind the scenes without making the incident an issue, the Pope said, by having the servants fill the jars with water that became wine. This simple yet amazing sign shows how God acts near and discreetly, the Pope pointed out, making the moment more beautiful and manifesting God's love present in Jesus.
È bello pensare che il primo segno che Gesù compie non è una guarigione straordinaria.
The first sign Jesus accomplished did not consist of an extraordinary healing, but a simple and concrete response to a human need, the Pope noted, saying, this is how God loves to act. And if we, like Mary at Cana, ask him, Jesus is ready to help us, to lift us up. And then if we are attentive to these signs, we will be conquered by his love and we will become his disciples. The Pope went on to say that the Cana Gospel narrative also notes how the water that became wine was of higher quality, when usually it would have been diluted for practical reasons. The Pope said this tells us symbolically how God wants what is better for us and our happiness, setting no limits or requirements and ensuring our joy is complete, never diluted.
Vi suggerisco allora un esercizio che può fare molto bene.
In conclusion, the Pope said it would be helpful if we went through our own memories to recall or discover signs of how the Lord has worked in our own lives and shown his love for us, even in difficult moments. We should treasure the discreet and loving signs of the Lord's nearness and tenderness, he said, and be joyful in our hearts because of them. The Pope concluded, let us relive the moments in which we've experienced his presence and Mary's intercession. And may she, the mother who is always attentive, as at Cana, help us treasure the signs of God's presence in our lives. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
In remarks after the Angelus prayer in St. Peter's Square, the Pope recalled this year's week of prayer for Christian unity from the 18th to the 25th of January and invited everyone to offer up their struggles and suffering in favor of Christian unity. This year's observance focuses on the theme, We Saw the Star in the East and We Came to Worship Him. It relates to the experience of the Magi who came from the East to Bethlehem to worship the newborn king. In a similar way, said Pope Francis, we Christians of diverse backgrounds and traditions are pilgrims on our way to full unity who come closer to our goal when keeping our gaze fixed on Jesus. The Holy Father will close the week of prayer for Christian unity on the 25th of January with evening prayers at the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. Bishop Brian Farrell is the secretary of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, which, along with the Faith and Order Commission of the World Council of Churches, helped to prepare the annual brochure of the observance. He explained to Francesca Merlo how the theme applies to the search for Christian unity.
Well, I've said before that the theme is really an invitation to all Christians to return to our origins, and our origins are in Christ. And here we have the story of the Magi, the wise men from the East, coming to Bethlehem to adore the infant Jesus. This for us is very important ecumenically, in the sense that we will never have the unity of Christians if we do not have the same faith and the same approach, the same acceptance of the salvation history that began in that moment of the birth of Jesus. So I think the theme is very much a call to center our efforts on the person and the mystery and the work of Jesus.
Bishop Brian Farrell, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. As we have reported, Pope Francis on Monday delivered his annual address to the members of the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See. In the address in the Hall of Benediction in the Apostolic Palace, he highlighted some of the great challenges of our time, including the COVID-19 pandemic, migration, conflicts, and climate change. The Pope reminded the over 200 diplomats that their overriding goal should be to help resolve disagreements and foster harmony. Commenting on the ongoing pandemic and its direct and collateral effects on humanity, the Pope said the health crisis still calls for a significant effort on the part of everyone. The British ambassador to the Holy See, Christopher John Trott, was among the ambassadors that attended the annual encounter. He spoke to Linda Bordoni after listening to the Pope's wide-ranging address.
It's an extraordinary privilege to be sitting in that room when the Holy Father does a review of the world, and you're struck by the breadth of his vision and by how much he cares about the state of the world. And that is something that you kind of expect, but nevertheless, it's sort of reassuring, or it's really a pleasure to hear in his voice and from what he talks about his vision and about the things that matter to him, both personally and to the Vatican as a state and as the Catholic Church.
Any surprises?
Not really, no surprises. What I was struck by were a couple of things. I was really struck by the strength of his appeal to everyone to ensure that everyone has access to vaccines, and then on top of that, that everyone takes their vaccine. And I think that was a very deliberate choice of words to remind people that you're protecting not just yourself when you have a COVID vaccine, but you're actually protecting the people around you, and you're making a contribution to the society's health by having the vaccine. And that, you've heard that message before, but I think it was very clear, and perhaps that's a reflection of where we are in the Omicron wave, that the Holy Father chose to use this language.
He started his speech talking about the pandemic on many different levels.
Exactly, and he talked about it at an individual level, at a societal level, at a regional level, and at a global level. And it was a reminder that we all have various levels of responsibility, from the individual needing to be vaccinated all the way through to governments in the north, including my own, ensuring that people in the global south have access to vaccines in order to be able to stop the spread of the current wave. So I was very struck by that and by his choice of that.
That was the British ambassador to the Holy See, Christopher John Trott, speaking there to Linda Bordoni. In that address, the Holy Father also expressed concern about the institutional tensions in Libya, the episodes of violence by international terrorism in the Sahel region, and the internal conflicts in Sudan, South Sudan, and Ethiopia. He said there is need to find once again the path of reconciliation and peace through a forthright encounter that places the needs of the people above all else. Meanwhile, in his message for Christmas, which the Oriental churches celebrated on the 7th of January, the head of the Ethiopian Catholic Church called on all the faithful to avoid evil and to ask God for the gift of forgiveness and peace through prayer. We persevere in prayer because peace and happiness are found in prayer. When we do, we fear God and turn away from evil. We are all one family, said Cardinal Berhane Jesus Raphael of Addis Ababa. He also urged Ethiopians to shun pride, anger and hatred that he said hinder peace in the country. In another development, the World Food Programme has warned that aid operations in northern Ethiopia are on the verge of grinding to a halt amid ongoing fighting and bloodshed that is making humanitarian access impossible. Robin Gomes has more on that story.
The escalation of conflict across Ethiopia's northern Tigray region means that no WFP convoy has reached the regional capital Mekele since mid-December, WFP, the UN's food program, said on Friday. More worrying still, stocks of nutritionally fortified food to treat malnourished women and children have now been exhausted, and the last WFP's cereals, pulses and oil will be distributed next week in northern Ethiopia, where millions are estimated to be in need of food assistance. Because of fighting, food distributions are at an all-time low, WFP spokesperson Thomas Piri told reporters in Geneva. According to WFP aid workers on the ground, warehouses are completely empty, which Piri described as a very dire sign. We are on the edge of humanitarian disaster, warned another WFP official. We are now having to choose who goes hungry to prevent another from starving, said Michael Dunford, WFP's regional director for Eastern Africa. He called for immediate guarantees from all parties to the conflict for safe and secure humanitarian corridors via all routes across northern Ethiopia. He said the lack of both food and fuel means we've only been able to reach 20% of those we should have in this latest distribution in Tigray. WFP also raised concern over an unprecedented lack of funding, saying it will likely mean millions of people will be left without food and nutrition across all of Ethiopia from next month. More than a year into the conflict in Ethiopia, an estimated 9.4 million people require humanitarian food assistance. This is an increase of 2.7 million from 4 months ago, the highest number yet, WFP said in a statement. I am Robin Gomes.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family. Some of you have said that you'd like to learn a little bit more about the current process of synodality and wished to listen to a program that we aired on synodality. Allow me to just say that if you go to our website, vaticannews.va, on the top right corner of the website page, you will find where it's written podcasts. You will find there an archive of all our past programs. Nevertheless, because you said so, here once more is a repeat of a discussion that I had with Father Joachim Mzanywa of Rundu Diocese in Namibia on the Synod. On 10th October this year, Pope Francis formally opened a two-year process that is being called a Synod on Synodality. The official name of the process actually is Synod 2021 to 2023 for a Synodal Church. In other words, this synodal process, officially launched by Pope Francis, means that all bishops around the world need to engage in a process, a two-year process of consultation with everyone in their dioceses, from parishioners, priests, religious, young people, students, and so on. The question of consultation in every diocese essentially is this: how can the Church learn to rely more fully on this kind of consultation and discussion process as a way of informing its decision-making processes? Put differently, How can the church become more consultative, more synodal in its governance? This is what Father Joachim Zanywa in Namibia has recently been trying to do with young people in Rundu Diocese. There are some key issues that need clarification, however. What do we mean when we say the church and mission? When we speak about the church working together, what do we mean? What does participation in the church entail? Here now is Father Joachim Muzanyo speaking with three young Namibians. First to speak is Fatima, who shares her views on church and mission.
Can you kindly tell us about yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Fatima Kambinda, Don Bosco Parish, Rondo Vicariate from Namibia. I am 16 years old in secondary school, grade 10. I am from a group called Teenagers on the Move, TOMS in short. Thank you for the opportunity to share my view on synodality.
Thank you very much, Fatima.
I'm Jacob Skambaraha, a 19 years old male. I'm a student doing nursing at the University of Namibia, Rundu campus. I am a youth in the youth ministry of Don Bosco Parish, Rundu Vicariate, Namibia.
My name is Coletta Rutandon Sinano. I'm a young adult. I'm an accountant by profession.
Fatima, in your own words, in your own view, what is the mission of the church?
The mission of the church is to spread the gospel in churches, schools, hospitals, prisons, and on media. The church's mission is primarily spiritual, but it also involves the material. The church cares for both the body and soul. The church also cares for the less privileged members of our society, such as the sick, orphans, widows, poor, disabled, homeless, to mention a few. The church is also involved in the social, political, and economic affairs, especially by promoting justice, reconciliation, and peace.
Now, you mentioned the church, you mentioned missionaries. Who is a missionary and what is or who is the church, according to your understanding?
In our Don Bosco Parish, Namibia, we have a slogan which says, I am the church, you are the church, and we are the church. This reminds all of us that everyone is both evangelizer and evangelized. We receive the gospel from some people and we pass it on to others. Missionaries are not only the sisters, priests, or brothers. All of us are missionaries. In the youth ministry, the young people are missionaries to their fellow young people.
Jacob, are you a protagonist or just a recipient in the church?
I am both a protagonist and a recipient. Development, evangelization, and moving towards our mission as true Christians is only by receiving and sharing it with others. We cannot only receive and keep it to ourselves. Like that, we are not moving anyway. So you receive what you give. Don't expect anything if you don't give anything. For example, we come to church. It's only a few of the population that comes to church or meet at places where the word of God is being shared. But then the word of God is meant for everyone worldwide. So it's our responsibility, those of us who are assessing the word of God, to share it with others. Thank you.
Coletta, can you kindly explain communion in synodal terms, as in communion calls for working together?
Whenever I hear the phrase working together, what comes in mind is moving together in unity towards a common goal. And this unity calls for acceptance, and it also calls for recognition of different roles. And this recognition, it's working towards one common goal. I would like us to draw an example from John chapter 17, verse 21, where Jesus prayed for unity amongst disciples. I believe that what came in Jesus' mind is that we become one so that we are able to uplift one another. And why I'm saying this is that there's something I read in the Vatimecum for the Synod, which talks about the pitfalls. And one pitfall that stood out for me is temptation of focusing on structure. I think this is one of the temptations that is very common in the church, where we usually concentrate on people who are very active within the church, and we leave behind those ones who are struggling. So if we draw an example, or if we draw our strength from the prayer of Jesus, it means that we're going to bring everyone so that we are able to achieve our common goal as a church.
How can young people become more united in your context where you are?
I believe that one of the desires of young people is to be accepted and loved. But for us young people to expect this from the community of parents, it first needs to start with us. We first need to accept who we are and understand that we have a role to play wherever we are placed, be it at school, be it in church. When as an individual understands that I have a role to play, it makes me open up to accept another person, meaning I'll start looking at the culture or the different environments that we come from. So if we start from ourselves, then we are able to be more united in the different type of activities that we might come up with as young people. I think that is, for me, it's one of the most fundamental. It's self-acceptance, to accept others.
Thanks a lot for your contribution on this part. Now, one final question for you, Jacob. Now, in this youth ministry that you mentioned, what can be done to foster more participation of the young people in the church?
Fostering participation is one of the great missions that we need to achieve as Christians. So maybe when we look at participation, what do you mean, or what does it mean when someone is telling you to participate, or the term participation? So in my understanding, participation is a derived word from Latin, which simply means involving oneself or taking part in certain activities that others are doing. Activities like maybe they are planning for a certain event. So you can involve yourself by sharing your views and ideas, contributing to the achievement of that specific event that is being organized. You can also participate in the development and enlargement of the youth ministry in which you are into, youth organizations, and the whole church or the community at large. So, firstly, fostering participation is a responsibility for every Christian. Those of us who are protagonists to the Catholic Church and recipient, meaning we receive and we are expected to share. By sharing, we are inspiring others to also participate in sharing or in evangelizing the good news to others. So we can also participate by organizing programs, inviting everyone to come and join the table of Christ to share the good word of the Lord. Participation also involves everyone by using our various gifts that we are blessed with, which are both incubated in time and talent. So you give your time and your talent to praise God, to glorify God, to help others, to encourage and evangelize good news to everyone in the world, like at places where it has never reached. So it's our responsibility also to take part in those activities. In so doing, we are inviting and attracting all those who need to participate to be on the table of Christ. However, We can only achieve this through the love of Christ by moving in unity and communion. Without love, without loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, we cannot be able to foster or to invite others. Because as we love ourselves, if we love ourselves the way we love our neighbors, it is good for us to bring them to the table of Christ, because we want justice for everyone. What we want to be done to us is what we want to be done to our neighbors as well. So by so doing, we are encouraging participation. Thank you.
Father Joachim Muzanyo, Salesian of Don Bosco Priest in Rundu Diocese, Namibia, on Family.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and we leave you with this song, We Three Kings, one of the suggested hymns for this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. Praise be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star, the star. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over a soul to reign. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to